Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Psalm chapter 25, which you can find on page 539 in the Bibles in your pews. That's Psalm chapter 25, which is on page 539 in your pew Bibles. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then is the man that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied. Free me from my anguish. Look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope is in you. Redeem Israel, O God, from all their troubles. This is God's word. Please be seated.
What happens when you fail? What do you do? What happens when it appears that everyone is against you? What happens when your sin blindsides you and suddenly you're aware that what is going on is because it's your fault? What happens when your marriage is not working the way you want it to work? What happens when your job is in jeopardy? Or what happens when school has become a serious problem and a pain and people that you're dealing with are difficult to deal with? What do you do at times like that? You pull back. You go back to the basics. You pull into the center where there is strength. What I would call returning to the ABCs of life and faith. The scriptures that we have today take us back to what is called the ABCs of prayer. We come to the Psalms. When you are desperate, when you are in need, when you struggle, when you hurt, as David is expressing in this psalm, we turn to the centers of our scriptures and we go to the place where we think we can find help. And that's exactly what the Psalms are designed for. The Psalms are a very, very unusual book. They are a collection of books, actually. But to understand them completely, we need to get a bigger view of Scripture. The Hebrew writers divided the Old Testament into three basic parts. First was the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. These were the words of God. These were the precepts and the laws of God, the statutes of God, the principles by which He wants us to live, and what He wants us to understand about who He is and how He acts and who we are to be and how we are to act in this world. Secondly, the scriptures were divided into the prophets. And the prophets were the ones who spoke during the history of Israel. And they were the ones that through the different times and the changing of circumstances showed that the word of God from the Torah was always the same and applied to any time and any circumstance, no matter what Israel faced, whether she was on top or whether she was in exile. And then thirdly, they divided the scriptures into the writings, the wisdom literature, of which the Psalms dominate. The Psalms are the major source of speaking of the response that we have to the Word of God that has been spoken to us in the Torah and in the prophets. The Psalms are the way we respond to what God has said. Athanasius, a 4th century Christian scholar, said this. He said, "The scriptures," referring to the Torah and the prophets, "speak to us. The Psalms speak for us." The Psalms collected over a long period of time. And this is what I want you to understand. The Psalms are so different than any other book because they are collected, they have been edited, and they have been arranged in a very special order. It's the only book in the Bible of which this is true. The Psalms are arranged in 5 sections, and each one of these sections corresponds to one of the 5 books of the Pentateuch, the Torah. The first book, and you can find the divisions in your Bible, they're not equal chapters by any stretch. The first responds to Genesis, where there is the life and the referring to the creation and how our beginnings came. The second corresponds to Exodus and speaks of deliverance and redemption. And the third book to Leviticus, it speaks of worship and the sanctuary. And the fourth to Numbers, that refers to the wanderings and the wilderness experiences of Israel. And the last set of books, all the way down to Psalm 150, relate to Deuteronomy and refer to the scripture and the word of God and the praise of God. It's in that section we have that magnificent Psalm 119 that talks about the precepts of God and the laws of God and the statutes of God and on and on and on, and the depth and the beauty of the Word of God. But the larger idea is this, that we pray responding to what God has already said and done. You see, we don't pray, we enter into what God has already done. We don't begin prayer. It's already begun, and God has spoken to us, and His word to us demands a response. We might go further to say that Moses, the writer of the Torah, sets out that God calls us into being, into judgment for our sin, and then into salvation through the covenant. And David, the main writer of the Psalms, gives us the answering call to that, calling back to God with trust, with lament over our situation, sometimes protest even of our situation, and praise to God. The Psalms, therefore, match the Torah. Like the 5 fingers of one hand clasped together with the 5 fingers of another hand, bent in prayer to the Father. That's what the Psalms are all about. And interestingly enough, the Hebrew word for Bible, mikra, means to call out. And God has called out to us. He has spoken what He wants us to hear, and we are to respond to Him. Prayer, we could say, is where we grow up. Prayer is where you mature spiritually. If you listen to someone pray, you can tell where they are in the Lord. Prayer is not a language that is simply used on Sunday. It's not a language that we use before our meals. It's not something when someone says, well, let's begin our meeting with a little prayer. My friends, there are no such things as little prayers. We come before a holy, mighty God who has spoken to us and who is demanding a response from us. And we don't begin anything. We enter in on what He has already done. But God is calling out to us and we respond to Him. Prayer is where we speak out of the depths of our souls and responding to what is going on around us. Sometimes, as we find in this psalm and in other psalms, David speaks angrily to God because we don't understand how He's ruling and the way He is ruling. God, why are you doing the things that you're doing? It doesn't make sense. When a family in our community, for example, loses 4 of their children and the grandfather in one accident, and they're believers and have a strong faith, and we say, God, why did you take them out of the world? They had a witness for you. And in our hearts, in a sense, is saying, God, we don't understand your rule. And we protest. David does it. Have you ever protested to God? Have you ever been angry at God? I'll never forget the first time as a young Christian I was praying with a man who'd led me to Christ, and we were praying, and in the middle of his prayer he said, God, I'm so angry at you. Man, I wanted to get under the table. I was afraid God was going to strike us with lightning right there. But he went on to say, God, I don't want to be this way, but this is what I feel, and I bring it before you to help me with it because I don't understand what you're doing. You see, that's real prayer. And that's what David expresses in Psalms, and the other writers respond. But sometimes we find ourselves falling humbly before Him and acknowledging His gratefulness and His goodness to us, that we don't deserve how much grace He has poured out upon us. Now let me add very quickly to say that the Psalms do not correspond to the Pentateuch chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That was never intended. And there's an obvious reason for that. The reason is that life does not come to us in a nice, ordered package. Life comes to us rather randomly. We don't know what we face this afternoon. I get a call late last night that my oldest brother was in a car wreck and hit head on. Spared wonderfully, and I'm waiting to hear this afternoon how he's doing. He's going to come through all right. We don't know what is going to happen to us. And the Psalms are arranged in a random way in their sections. But the Psalms express a different kind of language. They use a variety of language. It's like learning Spanish, as we heard sung before us today, or Japanese or Russian, because we want to communicate to a different culture. And the Psalms teach us the language of responding to God. You see, the Psalms are the language of God. The reason today that so much prayer is so pale and so weak and so stale is because it isn't rooted in the soil of the Word of God. You see, God gives us what we need to answer Him and to speak back to Him. And the Psalms provide that for us. I will never forget driving back years ago to Knoxville, Tennessee. We had picked up Bill Bright, the president of Campus Crusade, a godly man. He'd just spoken, and we were taking him from Chattanooga to Knoxville. I was young. I was on the staff of Campus Crusade. Bill got in the car, and there were 2 or 3 of us, and he said, "Men, let's pray as we go back." Well, you know, when your president says pray, you start trying to figure out how to sound real good. But he didn't wait for us. He began to pray. And he began to pray in such ways, in such intimacy with this God, that before long I was almost afraid to open my eyes because I felt like Jesus Christ was right there in the car. It was like no one else that was there as far as he was concerned. And he was pouring his heart out to this God that he loved and he adored. And I was ashamed because I said to myself, I've never prayed that way. I went back home, and for days I thought about it. And then I returned to the ABCs, and I opened my Bible to the Psalms, and I began to read, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. He was merely giving phrases from the Psalms and praying them back to God. You see, the Psalms are our prayer guide. They are our primer. They teach us the ABCs. Now, my friends, with that as a backdrop, I want to walk very quickly through Psalm 25 with you. It is a lament psalm, but it's a very unique psalm. It is an acrostic. given in the way of an alphabet. It is the first of seven alphabetical psalms in which each line begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's as if David is saying, here's a way of expressing my thoughts to God. They're not necessarily in some set order, and it's not perfectly done. There are a few little twists in there. But each line, in a sense, is saying, learn your ABCs of prayer. And I'm going to walk through this very quickly, and then I want to focus with you because he weaves three ABC thoughts throughout the psalm. Pay real close attention. Verses 1 through 3, he prays for protection. David prays a simple prayer of trust. God, you are my source. Don't fail me. I'm trusting in you. My enemies are a constant threat, but you are my hope. Psalms 4 through 7, he prays for guidance and asks God to show him his ways, to teach him his paths, to guide him in his truth, your truth, God. He's praying for specific direction. Let me know what to do in this case, Lord. I need enlightenment. We don't know the background of this psalm. Some people have said that it's the background of 1 Samuel chapter 23, where David is in the Philistine camp. He's gone willingly over, and yet they are actual enemies. They're just not fighting at this point. And he's surrounded by people who would love to see him defeated in many ways. And he's very conscious of his own sin in doing what he's done. It's a request to be wholly under the direction of God. He says, guide me in your truth. In verse 4, he doesn't want to lean on his own understanding. God, you are my Savior, he says, and I will hope in you all day long, he says in verse 5. And he says then, Lord, remember your great mercy and love as you've always been. And then it's as if when he begins to remember about God, he remembers about himself. And in verse 7, in the honesty of his heart, he remembers his own sin and he says, God, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. God, as a young person, I revolted against your authority. I didn't live under your law. Isn't it nice to know that David went through his teenage catharsis as well? But he remembers this, and he says, God, don't remember that, but rather remember according to your love, for you are good, O God. You see, he understands the forgiveness of God. In verses 8 through 10, he focuses on the character of God. And he tells us some interesting things. He says, it is because of who God is and what God does that I know that he will guide me and teach me. He says, all of the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful to those who keep the demands of his covenant. He appeals to the covenant of God. The ways of God are loving and faithful, especially to those who seek to keep his covenant. The covenant he made with us. And he says, if I come humbly, in that verse 9, that God will guide me and teach me his way. And then in verses 11 to 14, he focuses on man's character and relationship with God. When he thinks about God again, he says in verse 11, for the sake of your name, O God, forgive my iniquity. And listen to what he says. Though it is great, because it is great, since it is great, is what he means. You see, when he thinks about God, he sees himself as he is before God. Then he asks the question, who then is the man who fears the Lord? What is the person like who really fears God, who seeks to follow his covenant? Prior to this, in this section, he said, this is the one who learns God's ways, who has humbled himself and admits his sin. And this person then, look what he says, this is the man or the woman that God will teach his chosen paths for him. God has chosen paths for you, and they're the paths of goodness and righteousness, and God will guide you down
those paths when you come before Him. Notice this, the person who fears God will not only be guided, but it says he will spend his days in prosperity. And he refers literally to the prosperousness of life. That God will prosper him in his ways. And he will bless his children. And notice this, and they will be taken into God's confidence. Therefore, he says, my eyes are eager to watch God. He's saying, I will establish a habit of watchfulness, and that's what will deliver me. And then finally, in verses 16 through 22, is where his deep hurt is revealed. And he says, Lord, be gracious to me because I'm lonely. Have you ever been lonely? My heart is in anguish. Have you ever been in anguish? And he says, Lord, I am more aware of my sin than ever before. He sees himself for what he really is before a holy God. And not only that, Lord, he said, my enemies are increasing daily around me. But then out of that, he pleads, God, guard my life. I will take refuge in you. Protect me. I will hope in you. And he calls then on two of God's bodyguards. He says, God, send the bodyguard of integrity and uprightness. Then I will be protected. And he pleads then, in a way, for Israel. He says, Lord, redeem Israel from all their troubles. Because he knows that his redemption is only as good as those around him. We're never alone in the Christian life. Now, what are the ABCs from this section? There are three of them. Number one, God wants us to understand and teaches us how to pray for protection. You know how to pray for protection? God says here in the Psalms, he says, we have God's protection when we learn to live by his help and not by our own wisdom. That's verse 1. When we seek him alone. Secondly, we'll have God's protection when we learn to live by God's integrity and uprightness. And that's when he says, that will protect me. When I seek God's integrity and uprightness. And thirdly, we will have protection when we keep our eyes eagerly on God and wait for him. That's verse 15. You see, as David has learned that we keep the enemy from dictating the terms of how we live by keeping our eyes on God. And that's what keeps us in charge. The second of the ABCs is learning how to pray for guidance. Do you need guidance? Do you need to know where to go next? What God wants you to do about that job, about that relationship, about that child? Three things again. He says in verse 4, seek to know God's ways. Ask God to show you and teach. You see, this lays the foundation for right decisions. He's saying, God, teach me your ways, your truth, your paths. Secondly, in verses 5 and 15, he says, develop an alertness to what God is saying and doing. My hope is in you all day long. My eyes are on the Lord, and he will guide. And then thirdly, he said, if you want guidance, come with a humble attitude. In verse 9, David says, I am unworthy, O Lord. I am unworthy. God, you guide the humble. And in verse 14, which is my favorite verse of all, he says, when we reverence the Lord, he takes us into his confidence. The Living Letters puts it this way. It says, friendship is reserved for those who reverence him. With them alone, he shares his secrets. Isn't that wonderful? God says, if you want a friendship with me, you want to know the secrets of my covenant? That's what the word confide in the Hebrew means. It literally means an intimate group of people who are sitting around talking in hushed tones about things that mean only something to them. And God says, I want to bring you into that intimate fellowship. If you will reverence me and humble me, I will guide you. And the last ABC is the psalm that teaches us how to pray about our guilt and our sin. Notice how David has continually weaved this through the whole thing in the midst of his sorrows. As one man said, the mark of a true saint is that your sorrows remind you of your sins, and your sorrow for sin will drive you to the Lord. In verse 7, he says, remember my rebellion. And I remember my rebellion. Please don't you remember my rebellion. Verse 11, he says, forgive my iniquity, for it is great, O Lord. And it's so great that only you as a great God can forgive it. It's so great that only your mercy is large enough to encompass it. And then in verse 18, he says, almost in a plea, Lord, free me from sin. Free me from sin. You see, David tells us that God accepts us not only out of his mercy and grace, but because of his goodness. And because he wants to produce that goodness in us. And David expresses deep sorrow for his sin. He's sensitive when he's estranged from God. He's aware of that. And he mourns over his sin. And friends, I don't know about you, but I don't have that same feel about my sin so often as David has here. And he's trying to teach us to have it. Someone shared recently a statement that Spurgeon, the great preacher of England, said, if any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you're worse than he thinks you to be. If anyone charges you falsely on some point, yet be satisfied, for if he knew you better, he might change the accusation and you'd be no gainer for the correction. If you have your moral portrait painted and it's ugly, be satisfied, for it only needs a few blacker touches and it will be nearer to the truth. You see, so often we don't sense our depravity as the same reason that a fish does not know that it's wet. Because we swim in it all the time. John Calvin said, we are unaware of the 100th part of sin that clings to our souls. But David was aware. Now let me wrap this up by saying here, what are the ABCs for prayer? Three things. Number one, David is trying to teach us that we can be in the midst of danger and opposition and enemies and still have confidence that God will protect us. Secondly, when we need guidance, if we are willing to humble ourselves and ask God to teach us His way, His truth, and His path, we will have guidance. And thirdly, when we can see our sin fully and our salvation with confidence at the same time, where we can freely admit our sin and confidently confess our sin at the same time, we're gaining maturity. Paul said to Timothy, at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 1:15, he said, Timothy, it's a trustworthy statement that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I still am the chiefest of. That's the end of his life. I thought to myself, Paul, why did you write that? Doesn't it get better? It's not that it gets better, it gets larger. And I see more about who I really am before God. And I really see my sinfulness and my need for repentance. That God accepts me and loves me because He's made a covenant. And He's come down and spoken to me. And He's waiting for my response. What is your response? Here's my challenge to you. Take a psalm daily and pray it as if it were your own. And then just write down what comes to you. What do you learn from that? What do you see? Because psalms are the language of prayer. And God wants you to learn how to pray to Him. Your prayer life will never be the same if you will do that. Let's pray together. Oh God, we need You to take us out of those things that we find ourselves where we are oppressed. We need Your protection. And God, we need guidance, and we ask, O Father, that You will help us to see where we're depending on our own ways and we're messing up our lives when we are not depending on You. And, oh, Father, may I learn to be as real as David about my sin and to see it so clearly for who I am, but at the same time realize that I can freely, confidently confess my sin before you and accept the forgiveness instantly in return from a holy, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.